Do you follow my point? I don't know what I'm trying to say. Let me tell you, as a preacher, let me explain again. Now, I have seen preachers misuse their gifts. That is, if you have the power to persuade people, listen, the anointing is very interesting. I am teaching, as far as my conscience understands it, what I know to be the truth. Do you get my point? Without any other motive, just to get people to understand God. The joy of my heart is that people get to know God more. Now, you know that I'm still a person, though I'm a preacher. I have personal issues. I mean, like, I may be angry with you now. I may be very angry with you. And then you now mistakenly go and open a shop downstairs. And I'm very angry with you. Okay? And everybody is listening to me, the way of success, or Saturday meetings, Monday, they are listening. And I'm very angry with you. Do you know it's very easy to spoil your business using my anointing? I will speak words, you know, because I know people listen to me and they respect my opinion. That is why no preacher should ever get up and say, God spoke to me that this man will be your next president. That is corruption. No, I'm serious. If God spoke to you that this man will be the next president, don't say to anybody. Discuss with your family and your close friends. Because what you are doing is to campaign for him. Because if you are a very influential minister, once you say, then the day of voting, everybody queues. They don't, even if a man looks like he can't perform. Are you getting my point? You have not helped God by saying that. What I'm trying to say is that you can misuse your anointing. You are anointed to teach, but you teach people out of the anger of your heart so as to corrupt another person's business. That's a misuse. And I was saying something that anointing is very interesting. Don't think that once you start talking nonsense, God will withdraw the anointing. He won't. No, he won't. He has given you the power to persuade. Number one, two things he gives to teachers. Number one, he gives you the ability to understand. That is one. And then number two, the ability to communicate that understanding. That is, the ability to persuade people concerning what you have understood. You can decide to use it to corrupt people's minds. You can do that. The one that is commonest is that preachers use it to collect money. I first read it from Demos Shakarian. He organized a meeting, and this man, with his one eye and one leg, I think, was a very anointed man. For 6 weeks, this guy was preaching. People were giving their lives to Christ. The sick were getting healed. The man was healing the crippled and all of that by the power of the anointing. The very last day, they were about to close the meeting. The man said, not here. That is in his mind. What did he do? He spent 2 hours taking an offering. If God has blessed you in the last few weeks, come forward and come and show your gratitude. Oh, you have come once, you can come a second time. Oh, dear sister, God bless you. As you are coming there, yes, the Lord will bless you. He just keeps looking at him. 2 hours. He says, show your gratitude to God. Show God how much you appreciate what he has done for you in the last many weeks. Come once, come twice. If you don't have money, I'm adding my own now. This is what I'm about to add is my own. If you don't have money, borrow from your neighbor, you pay him back when you get home. At the end of the day, no being organized meeting, in our guest minister. As soon as he finished collecting the offering, he ran to where the ushers carried the money to, brought out 2 small bags and stuffed all the money into it and said, that's my money. And looked at them, said, all of you, these people don't have sense. He told them, Shakarian, in straight words, that I think you're a fool. That you have something great going on out here and you don't know how to take advantage of it. Adios, bros. Collected his 2 bags and walked away. Demos Shakarian said he never saw the guy again until, I think, 3 years later. I'm not sure, a number of years, when the man stopped at his door to beg for money. That, sir, I'm trying to get home. I'm very broke. As you see me, so, nothing in the bros' pocket. Nothing. You know, just search me. Nothing. 5 years later, he heard the man was dead. He was in his 30s. I told you, read. You will learn a lot of instruction. Are you getting my point? That was somebody who misused his anointing. What am I preaching this season? That the man that God has given wealth should also realize it's an anointing. And he should be careful what he uses it to accomplish. That's what we are saying. The same thing. Listen. Ed Cole said, money is the second thing when it comes to power, all right, to omnipotence. That the only thing more powerful than money is God. And you know, Jesus said it like that. He said, you cannot serve God and... That is, when they said, look, the only person competing with God for your heart is this one, the thing must be powerful. Jesus said, beware of covetousness. You know what that means? When you see covetousness, run. Be aware that the thing is dangerous. That's the meaning of the word beware. So you see, that shows the amount of power that is inside it. That time I heard Ed Cole say that thing. It was the time that Babangida was using money to corrupt every good thing in Nigeria. And I realized indeed how powerful money is. It's about, I think it should be Satan's instrument number one. You can buy anointing with it. If you don't believe me, remember the story of Balaam. The man went to pray. God spoke to him clearly. Balak said, there are two ways God talks. One without money. The second one with money. Double the money. When they went back, Balaam licked him out. All this gold for me? He said, yes, sir, if you just come along. Ah! He said, but I can't go now. I said, God says, let me go and ask God again. I mean, God can't let this kind of offering pass us by. Come on. We need it for the ministry. He went back. God said, since you want to go, be on your way. All this God told me. I have told you that it doesn't mean any. Now, I hope you have seen that it doesn't mean anything. Listen. Before you say God told me, we will examine the heart that heard God. It doesn't mean you didn't hear God. The prophets that were prophesying before Ahab and Jehoshaphat, all right? They were hearing from heaven. But Micaiah said, I heard God send lying spirits into their mouth. So they were not trying to deceive anybody, in quotes. But they spoke because they knew the kind of things Ahab wanted to hear. And God allowed them to speak by inspiration what Ahab wanted to hear. He said, who will entice him to go to Ramoth Gilead that he might perish there? The God said to Balaam, go? Yes. But did God want him to go? No. The God said to the children of Israel, you can divorce your wives? Yes. But Jesus said it was because of hardness of heart. Look. I have looked around a bit and I've heard so many kinds of God told me. When I was praying about this, God began to say, this was the covenant I had with God, and God began to say, ah, please, I'm releasing that book very shortly. Great faith can be yours. What I explain in that book is that, listen, faith comes according to the kind of heart with which you approach God, not the amount of intellectual knowledge you have. I prayed, and then God began to speak. Listen, God speaks according to what you are ready to hear. So don't harass God with speech at all. As a child of God, stop telling God to speak. Say, God, if you want to talk, I will hear. If you don't want, just please, keep busy. I have things I'm doing here too. That is, I'm here working on my heart according to the one you have revealed in the scriptures, trying to obey you. Because people say, God speaks, so he speaks. But is God like this? No. It's just that, what you want to hear, if you harass him enough, you will hear it. That is, don't let me go to that side. Let me give you the gist, Joe. That is why. We said that I just prayed. I need that God said I should marry this sister. You liked her, that is why. Don't fool us. We are not children. If you like woman, say you like her. Say, bro, good afternoon, man. I like you. There's nothing like God now said I should marry her. Listen, my friend. You like her, that is why God told you to marry. If you didn't like her, is your name Hosea or what? Hey, I'm not saying God didn't say you should marry her, but I'm saying first of all, you liked her first. That's just by the way, that's not part of what I said. They bought his anointing. But let me emphasize that the ministry of wealth, which must go with the vow of poverty, is for you to understand, are you getting my point? That this thing is an instrument in the hands, this is something that God has given me as an instrument in my hands to do the work of God. Are you getting my point? And as we go on, we begin to see, but each person will know the exact kind of work that God has called him to do. Because there's something, number one, this is very important. I'll just run through this and then we'll develop some of them further. Now, There are many things that God wants us to do on the earth. Number one, okay, is to promote his kingdom. What I mean is that, I don't mean that to increase the size of our churches, you know. There is something about Christians and denominations. You know, most of them, at least in this part of the country, most of our parents belong to one church or the other. So we grew up thinking that the church of God is a denomination. I don't know whether you get what I'm going to say. So even though we left the church of our parents, when we entered our own churches, we just carried the mentality into a new church. I don't know whether you are getting. Now that this is the work of the kingdom, that church must increase and fill the whole earth. Now, I'm trying to explain something here. That's what Christians make as mistakes. They think that when we're talking about expanding the kingdom of God, it is expanding our own denomination. And people, this is the sad part, they preach it from the pulpit, and listen, it is wrong. Listen, you know what the kingdom of God is? It's discipling every man for Jesus Christ. That is it. Are you getting the point? The kingdom of God is to bring the fear of God to the heart of every person. That's what it is. You are making disciples of all the nations. It doesn't mean they are all going to the same church. It doesn't mean it at all. If you want to be blessed as a Christian, please recognize that it's not only your church where they have Christians. There are churches I won't step into. Even if I die, they say, let's look for who will do funeral service. Don't go to that church. Don't carry me there. For only one reason. Once the church starts saying that we are the one, the rest of them, nothing for them, then I won't go there. I won't. I know many, you know, I know many Pentecostal churches that are just like that. You see them feeling very, very superior. As if the pastor knows they use toilet. You know, looking very straight. Sometimes I look at some of them, I want to carry oil and stain that his suit. So that we know that, and you know, for me, I look at some of those pastors, and I say, you, I know you. You're a small boy. You. I'm not talking to your face, though. No matter what you look like, you're a small boy. And if I see you, I won't say good morning, sir. I will call you by your first name. Ah, Paulo, how are you doing now? If it's wickedness on my part sometimes, but I just sometimes want to cut some people down to size. Like, what's your problem? Why are you crying like pastor? Pastor is a normal human being. I hope you get the point. If he does his work well, God will bless him. If the man who is a creator of wealth does his work well, God will also bless him. How can you show that I say you're superior to anybody? I thank God I don't have friends like that, Sha, because if you're like that, you can't be my friend. We will quarrel. Now, what is the gospel? Is that when I say we'll spread the kingdom of God on the earth, we are talking about making, you know, bringing every thought, like Paul said, all right, in subjection to the knowledge of God. That's what we are talking about. It's very important. These are the things that God wants done on the earth. We'll develop these things later. Then another thing is that, another mistake that Christians make, I've explained one in which they think that it's just their denomination that is of God. Everybody else, you're not of God, all right? And there are Christians that can give their last shirt to their church, but they can't give you 15 naira to eat food. I have met many. Because that one is not the work of God. If it's new rug in their church, they can remove their trouser and use it to buy 1 square inch of rug to put in church. That is, they won't wear trousers again. They will be wearing, you know, they'll be wearing pata to church, yes. So yes, our church has a new rug. Are you getting my point? But may they give you 50 naira to eat. No, they can't do it. Oh. I sacrificed for God. I gave my last trouser. God said, it's not me. You gave it to your church, not me. Because if it was really me you were giving to, just as you gave to your church, you give to somebody in need also with the same kind of favor. Which brings me to the next point. It's not only to build, to establish the kingdom of God, like we say it, like I just explained now, that God is after. Again, do you know, sorry, you know, Africa, eh? Believe me, black man get problem. Noah did us bad, though. For those of us who came for the series, I taught then in Genesis, when Noah said to, when Moses recorded that Noah said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be. Remember that Canaan did not sin. Who sinned? Ham. Ham was his father. And for a long time we asked the question, Why was he saying, cursed be Canaan? When it was Ham that sinned. Ham, the father of Canaan. Then when we were studying, then we discovered it. It's very simple. The reason was because Moses was writing the accounts of creation down to that wilderness as it concerned the children of Israel. And they were about to step into the land of Canaan. So he was explaining why they were stepping into the land of Canaan. So the concern of Moses, who was documenting this, was as it affected them. So you see the genealogy drawn was skewed towards how you got down into Israel, down to David, down to, you know, that's the way it went. We told us something simply, that it was not Canaan that God cursed. It was actually Ham. But the curse was upon him and his children. Are you getting the point? But then Moses talked about the one that had to do with him and the nation of Israel. So he said, cursed be Canaan. Then we suddenly understood that, in effect, he was also saying, cursed be Mizraim and cursed be Cush. Those were the other children of Ham, the ancestors of the African. So a lot of those guys around Israel there, down to Africa, Noah cursed them. I'm serious around and say, cursed be Ham. Cursed be Cush, cursed be Canaan, cursed be Mizraim, cursed be all the descendants of Ham. Servant of servants will they be. Now, why am I saying that? All the curses have been eradicated in Christ Jesus. Listen, you know, people can say what they like. You know, politics is different from truth. You know that. They say, white man discriminates against the black. Let me tell you the truth. If I was a white man, I would discriminate against a black man. It is not out of your color. It's not color that's their problem. All you need to do is relate with the cursed black man. You won't want to relate with him. They are cursed. No, I'm sorry. You know, I can say this easily. Black man too, not in sport. Are you getting my point? No, the problem of the black man shows up everywhere. It's in their minds. How many of you know Barack Obama? See, these are the things we are saying. It's in the genes. See, who knows? All the guys put up their hand, at least half of them. And the ladies look at each other and say, is it kind of perfume now? Anyway, Barack Obama is one of the front runners, all right, in the Democratic Party, all right, in the U.S. for the next presidency, all right? Now, he's a black man. His mother is white, but he's from Kenya, all right? His father is from Kenya. Now, I was watching the other day, and the complaint, this was on CNN, that the black people are now complaining that Barack Obama is not black enough. It's not because his mother is white. That's not the problem. His father was from Kenya. Now, he's a proper American. He's currently, I think he's a senator, all right? He's a senator, yes. So he's running for presidency. He said the guy is not black. He's not black enough. He made a joke. I watched that a few days ago. He came for, he was supposed to speak somewhere, and he came 10 minutes late. So he turned it into a joke. He said, I'm so sorry I'm late, but at least now you guys know I'm really black. Because even there, they know black men are always late. I talked to people who live with them. Say, a typical black American is a lazy man. He doesn't like to work. He keeps blaming the white man, but he doesn't like to work. You know, last time I wasn't around, you know, that I went for a course. My brother-in-law and I were going one day, we were talking. So one car drove up beside us, and he saw a black man in the car blasting music loud. On the main road, cars were. I look, okay, you see earring here. You see it's braided here. So my brother-in-law says, see, idiot, why won't police pull you over? That is very so. You say, police, they are harassing black people. Yes, even if I were the policeman, I would harass you. Look at you. Look at you. Is that what respectable people look like? Your music is disturbing all the 20 car radius. You are everybody listening to your music with you. So how do we? You're not hearing anything. Your spirit is deadened. You can't look. Listen. Read that book when it comes out, please. I said the kind of music you hear decides whether you have faith or not. If that's the kind of thing you listen to, you can never believe God because your spirit is dead. If you are listening to Snoop Dogg, you are not born again. Say bank is set. Go and tell God that Pastor Bank said I'm not born again. God will tell you, yes, you are listening to Snoop Doggy Dog. Snoop Doggy Dog is of the devil. No, listen, I don't care. First time I heard him rap, Man, I was taken over. This guy is smooth, he's talented. Then I tried to listen to him. After half of the track, I shut down the thing. It couldn't enter a righteous man's eardrums. It's not possible. When he released his movie, Doggy Style, it was pornography. And that, you know, you go abroad, everywhere is clean. Until you go to the place where the African man dominates, they don't even sweep the front. You say, white man is discriminating. It's not discrimination. It is the cause of Noah. It's not their fault. You're not here when we're doing that series on Genesis. Please don't let me sit on the bad side. Let me come to the correct side. When we're talking about the kingdom of God, this is the kingdom of God in Christ Jesus. Are you getting my point? The curse of Noah has been removed. Are you getting what I'm saying? And now, I forgot to finish the gist about Barack Obama myself. Why? You know why they were talking like that? Because the man is not from the struggling group of black men. So the other black man said, no, he's not black enough. That is, he hasn't suffered. He's not fighting the white man. He's not cursing the white man who go black. Those black activists refused to accept that he was properly black. That he only made it because he was sucking up to the white man. That he was a bootlicker for the white man. Meanwhile, it's only people like that that could carry them anywhere. Once they see people like that, they wanted to be shouting with them, Aluta, 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 Aluta continua. When Aluta discontinued long ago, they are still believing that Aluta is continuing. But let me just say the main thing I want to say. What is the work of God on the earth? Because it's important to God that we show forth his excellency. Are you getting what I'm going to say? It's important that we show forth what? His excellency. Now, we have this recreated spirit of Christ in us. We are not under the curse of Noah anymore. Are you getting my point? There is no white man that is superior to any black man as long as he's of faith in Christ Jesus. This is the work of God. You have to prove that for the earth to see. That is why I'm not willing to sweep gutter for any white man, no matter how much dollars he pays me. I will never do it. I am a recreated man in Christ Jesus. I am not a beggar. I'm a man of influence. I walk tall, you know, with my shoulders spread out. I like what Bishop Oyedepo said once. He said he went to New York. The pastor there was shaking. They didn't have enough money for something. He said, what is the problem? They told him. He opened his briefcase, gave the man US dollars. Go and pay. He said, black is not lack. You are getting the point? He said, once he finished preaching, a white man came to him and said, what needs do you have in your ministry? He said, he looked at him and said, our ministry is not a needy ministry. We're giving ministry. If you have a need, tell me. I will meet it. He said, the man's nose turned red. Yes. When you embarrass a white man, he becomes red. It's very good. He's the one that is colored. We are not colored. We are just black. He changes color. When you embarrass him, he's red. When it's cold, he's blue. When he's afraid, he's white. Different colors. Now, what am I going to say? It is the work of the kingdom that you prove to the earth what God has done. That you are not cursed like Noah cursed people. Listen, you can travel anywhere you want all over the world. Please, you must never be a runner or a beggar. And I'm suffering, I'm suffering, I'm suffering. Let me go to where there's no suffering. That Noah's curse has not departed from you. We are talking about wealth. He said it is God that gives you what? The power to make. I like the word New American Standard. Wealth is what is made. They don't run looking for it. They make it. They create it. Let's talk on relevant things for Nigeria right now. Believe me. When I look at Charles Soludo, I know God is doing something. Amma is always cooking up interesting ideas. Whether they will work or not, it's not my problem. He's cooking something up. It's not business as usual. No, I like him for that. We will forgive all his iniquities. Just keep cooking up ideas. Because the man that is cooking up something, God can add something to it. But the one that just frozen still like this, we are not going anywhere. As we are going on, we'll see what it means to earn money and put into pockets the households. It's one of the ways by which the curse of Noah is affecting many generations on this earth. They work for little. Are you getting my point? Then that little they put into pockets, and the pocket, the Bible says, households. The man that is blessed works little, earns plenty, and that plenty, he finds it hard to even finish spending it. And it's the responsibility of the people that have been blessed by God, forgiven by the power, the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus, to become Josephs, to help people preserve their harvest. So it's the work of God on the earth, listen to me, for you to become an economic giant. It's not just like, let us go to church. That one is good. Let's pray the gospel. It's very correct. But the gospel has practical effects, practical things that it does in the lives of people. One of them is for it to create in the hearts of those so-called by God, great multinationals, and they will birth it on the earth and say, we are not cursed. We are black yet. Look at what God is doing through us. Are you getting the point, Mike? Listen, you have to start thinking like that. You're not a beggar. You know how you hold slaves forever? Just be giving him more than he can eat, and he's happy. He will be your slave for life. But a man who is not a slave is not interested in what he can eat. He says, how can I die and not leave a legacy on this earth? I like one thing that was reported about Peter Daniels. Peter Daniels said he has two assignments in life. He's a 70-something-year-old man now. I bought one of his books recently. Peter Daniels said he wants to see how much money a man can give out in a lifetime. You know, most of us want to see how much money we can earn in a lifetime. Peter Daniel said, I want to see how much money I can give out in a lifetime. The first three business... Now, listen, the man was illiterate as a young man. He didn't go to school at all. He taught himself book, everything. The first two or three companies he started went bankrupt. But his faith in Christ Jesus wouldn't let him give up. Eventually, he began to do well. So he started giving out money. He said he wants to see how much money a man can give out. He gave out money, give out. And he became richer still. The man is racing against himself to see how much money he can give out in a lifetime. Yet he's getting richer. There is he that scattereth and yet increaseth. So the second assignment he has, he wants to do something on the earth that will affect the generations of the earth for 300 years if Jesus doesn't come back. Now that's a blessed man's mentality. Not what can I eat? What can I drink? And wherewithal shall I be clothed? You know, I told my wife something a few days ago. I said, when I came back from my course, one of those days, as I was going, I went to my office. As I was walking, and, okay, Ayika is not around. Ayika saw me, one of the young women that come here for this teaching. She's not around today. I said, from a distance, when I saw the look on her face, I told my wife, I can never run away from this place. I can't. Now, it's not just like somebody's happy to see, because there's another lady that works in her office that saw me. That one jumped on me, literally. But that's not what I'm saying. But there was like, the man who teaches the word has come back. God, thank you. I said, God, I told my wife, I said, see, I'm affecting lives. Chike sent me, it was a mail or text one day. I said, look, see, I'm going back home. He said, see, America is very good. I said, wait. They don't teach you, I don't teach you of success there. I don't. Let me go back to Enugu. That's where the action is. That is where the action, because you see, it's not a begging mentality we're talking about. It's what? A giving mentality. If you think like that in this world, listen, you can never be poor. And believe me, you will never die young. No accident will kill you. The accident will enjoy itself and get frustrated about you and leave you alone. You know, devil looked at Job. God said, have you concerned myself in Job? He said, yes, I did. I saw the hedge around him, so I left him alone. You are getting my point. Listen, one of the purposes for wealth on the earth is to create an example, a showcase of the blessedness that God has given to us in Christ Jesus. Are you getting my point? You know, I explained all of that talking about the problem of the black man. That thing is genetic. That is, it's a spiritual problem. You cannot discuss it away. This, you know, poor maintenance culture is part of pockets that has holes. A stitch in time literally saves nine. We are always putting nine stitches when the blessed man is always putting one. Let me tell you why I've said what I've said. The Bible says that there was a city. Solomon said something I saw under the sun, an evil. He said there was a great king that came against this small city. He said, but inside that city, there was a small, he said there was a poor but wise man. Read the new, today's English version, Good News. He said, who could have delivered the city by his wisdom? He said, but no one remembered him. Therefore, I lamented and said, wisdom is better than strength. But the wisdom of the poor man is despised, and his words are not heeded. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Pastor Bangkok, what are you saying? I am saying that the fact that nobody listens to a poor man is what God has joined with poverty. You can't pray it out of reality. He said, how will God listen to you? Why will people listen to you? You must be prosperous. Dangote has a bigger word to say in Nigeria than all the pastors put together. I hope you know. Aliko Dangote controls more economic policies than the GO and Bishop Oyedepo and the WF Kumuyi joined together. You know, we deceive ourselves. We went to see the president. Of course, he said, welcome, sir. Welcome. He says welcome to every sir. Every small, poor, poverty-stricken Igwe from a village gets a sir from the president. So the fact the president welcomes you as a bishop and says, sir, doesn't mean anything. He said, our pilgrims are not being well-treated. He said, oh, it's your pilgrims. That's not a problem. It's your pilgrims. Where did they go to? Israel. To Mount of Transfiguration, where Jesus is not coming back to, though everybody's believing that he's coming back there. No problem. You want subsidy? They say, yes. You give subsidy. People like Dangote will say, this cement safe. Ban importation. I pray that will say, no problem. He will ban it. Then you'll be in church praying, Father, the price of cement. In Jesus' name, your children must build houses. The wisdom of the poor man is despised, and his words are not heeded. Go and read the story of Job. People listened to Job because of the amount of success that God had planted upon him. What am I trying to say? You won't change a nation like this as long as you are still one of the commentators. You write columns in the paper. But when you have prospered, are you getting my point? I told you that wealth is what? An instrument. It's an anointing. It's a force. It's a voice. It allows you to talk. He said, yeah, but a prophet can talk. Yes. Jesus could walk on water, right? How many times did he walk on water before he died? Once. The rest of the time, he will borrow what? Boat. He will not from there be speaking. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Why didn't he stand on water? I'm saying, because it is not normal. Are you getting my point? It's not usual. It's not God's order. So it is not God's order also that the poor Christians are the one controlling policy. It's not God's order. It is true. When the king arrests Peter, he will pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray before they finally release Peter. No, so. In the same manner, when the economic policy doesn't favor you, he will pray and pray and pray and pray before they change it. But wait. Let God bless you. And you and Dangote are talking to him. Aliko, how now? If you confuse the president again, you won't sell sugar again in this country. I just say, Dave, why are you talking like this? Then you talk man to man. It's true. You don't do that by prayer. You can pray in the seed time. This is time to pray. In the harvest season, it's money that talks. Are you getting my point? You use the power of wealth to legislate righteousness. But I hope you are getting the point I'm making, all these things I'm saying. That wealth is not, look, one, we spread the kingdom of God. Yes. We demonstrate the excellence that's in Christ Jesus. These are purposes for living. That is why, listen, that's why I'm not so excited. If I go into a country, America is very good, Britain is very good. I know. Listen. America is a blessed country. No, those countries are good. But I'm looking for the shining forth of my light. Are you getting my point? That where things are bad, you know, last time I was in Lagos, all I was dreaming of was, you know, I went to Yaba. I was thinking, all this congestion here, what if they did this? You know, I was thinking of how to make that Lagos look as fine as New York. It's not impossible. You know, you understand my point? The problem is in the head. It's not resources. It's not resources at all. What am I trying to say? One of the assignments for the children of God is to change these orders. These are all, you know, these are problems of the spirit, believe me. Things will change when men that God has blessed, when women that God has placed his spirit inside rise up and they take charge. That's what we are saying. Listen to me. It's a worthy goal in life. It's an accursed man that talks like this. What is anybody looking for in this life, Seth? once you have enough money to buy a house, buy a car, and send your children to school, what more are you looking for? Just know that Satan has put his neck in an arm lock and he can't see straight. Because life is not about training your wife, feeding your wife and training your children and putting them in a decent house. That's not what life is about. In fact, as for children, they are with you to be trained as warriors for the next generation. All right? Are you getting my point? That's what the Bible says, that the children are like what? Arrows. Arrows. You are training warriors to be used for what? The fight of God for their generation. Otherwise, you actually don't need them. I'm not looking forward to the day when my children will be giving me money. Till they die. I can bless them. But they will have more money than me, but I will have enough to still be blessing people. In Jesus' name. Amen. But by the time Akin Louis is 25, he will be skilled enough to head a company as big as ExxonMobil. Because Solomon was a teenager when he was heading Israel. He's training. Listen, don't leave your children for school teachers to train. You train them yourself. They can go to school for social gathering. Teach them arithmetic and English yourself. Teach them history and Bible stories yourself. Teach them how to run businesses. If you're a businessman, start showing your children how things are done. I like Robert Kiyosaki. I'm not saying he's a gospel preacher, but I like some of the things he says. Teach your children about money. Let them not equate money and chocolate as one is exchanged for the other. Like I always tell people, stop giving. When you are going to church, you call your children, 5 naira, offering money. It's wickedness you are doing those children. Listen, as a house, let them know when you are giving offering. This check for 2.5 million naira, I am taking it to church for so-so-so-so. So the man knows that for you, the work of the gospel is serious business. Don't train him with 5 naira. When you buy him Eclairs, how much do you pay? When you take him to Mr. Biggs, how much do you pay? Then you say you are teaching him how to give offering. You are giving 5 naira. You are telling him that meat pie is more expensive than the gospel. Are you getting my point? Don't create a wrong impression in his mind that church is changed. Let him see you give beggars 5 naira. That one is good. When you want to give to a man of God, make sure he's present. When you are giving to your own parents, are you getting my point? Let them know that Christmas, we are buying this for grandpa. Let him see how much money you are using to buy for grandpa. That's how he will treat you later. You are getting my point? Let me give you 5 naira to go to church. Abraham's blessing. Am I? Nonsense. I'm back. Let me close your. So that we can go home. Don't join the satanic cult of I don't need anything just for me and my children. No. You need to have a voice in life. Poor men don't talk. You are a head and not a tail. Please believe it. You need to look, listen. All you need to do is just be believing these words. Then when God says you have accepted, you know, remember what we said at the beginning? All God wants you to do is change your thinking. Change your thinking. Change your thinking. Once you have changed your thinking, you are thinking like God. God will now say, let me now put you in charge of cities. That's the way it works. I hope you have learned something today. Yes, if you have learned anything, say a loud amen. Yes, all right, let's just rise to our feet and begin to give God thanks again.